Blog Talk Radio.
Codec.
33%
for the company president. Hazard pay, money spent. Second chancers can't pay the rent. Work from home, comfy slippers, no mask needed, all alone. Zoom call with lawyers, staff, and union sellouts on his smartphone. Some part-time bus and rail workers have no home. Uniforms and family health insurance. Flagmen paying out of pocket. No salary bump for any of us. Bet. No $350,000 rocket.
33%.
A competitive raise for our company president.
Underfunded pension. Forgot to mention money. You can never have enough. More and more keep the workers poor. Flyovers and cameras with 8K HD X-ray view. Negotiations for contracts behind secret closed doors. The workers always get the screw. The solution to the problems are nothing new. Full-time jobs for all and two-person crews.
Running a transit agency during normal times is a Herculean task.
Sitting in your award-winning palace while we get assaulted is kind of crass. No contract, no radios, no decent breaks for operators. Safety first, the truth hurts. Company union, lavish lifestyle. Think about the relationship for a while. Union bosses to help punish the voices that inspire the workers. Call the cops, run the radicals off the lot. Shoot the messengers, suspend and fire the non-conforming misbehaviors. No accelerated discipline for our highly paid boss or his top union friends. No random drops or violation sins. An easy ride to retirement for him. We lost count. How many pensions? No 26 and out for the rest of them.
Leadership that this agency needs.
Glory and praise to thee while the full-time workers double-digit pension paycheck deductions bleed if they survive COVID-19. Twilight Zone cognitive dissonance. The company board mandated it.
33% for the company president.
Month it's been. It's February already, 2023 at the Chicago Transit Authority. Our poor employer, the management, the mismanagement is suffering greatly. They're making posters begging the workers to come to work using words like love and teamwork, using poetry. Roses are red, violets are blue. Please come to work. That's what we got now. That's what they're getting to. You mistreat your employees. You punish them mercilessly with ridiculous trifling things and then them down with low wage poverty time jobs, a second class program, multi-tiers of different, the same job, different people at different pay, inferior benefits. It's crazy. We got to talk about what's going on in Local 241, Local 308 here in Chicago. We're going to focus on 241, but hell, whatever you want to talk about, the phone number to call in for the guests. You can call in any time. 515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. This is Brother Eric. I'm in the Justice Coalition. I'm also local 308 union steward, choo-choo train mechanic, former operator, CA flagman, and troublemaker. We got some other troublemakers on the call. Can y'all hear me? Let's see. Let me activate. Make sure you're live, everybody. Let's see what I can get here. We should have three other people on the call with me.
Can you hear me, Eric?
Yes. Who is this?
Eric Slater, 241.
All right, Eric Slater, welcome. Who else do we have?
Can you hear me?
Oh, it sounds like Kathy.
Yeah, it's me.
And we got somebody else. We've got three people. Well, whoever that is on there. Whoever. Someone there?
Don't make fun of the air this year.
Oh,
it sounds like Nicole lost her voice.
Yes, it is. Now I'm not saying nothing else.
Man, all right, so Nicole, I don't want to make you talk, and for some reason this chat window isn't loading right for me here. I don't see. Do you see a chat box? No?
No, Eric, no.
I'm sorry. So I won't make you talk too much, and but it would be great if you could tell us. I'll get things started. You know, President Hill put out a report, and he says, the local 241 president, he says, congratulations to the newly elected officers and executive board stewards. I believe with the mixture that we have, the union can continue to move forward with its success. The world shut down. The workforce was given the opportunity to work from home or just stay home. The schools went remote. Doctors' appointments went remote. Courts went remote. At one point, you had to be doing an essential job to move around the city in several states. Since March of 2020, we have been coming to work, moving the city, suburbs, and counties. The brothers and sisters of CTA, PACE, and First Transit, whether you're a driver, servicer, mechanic, or clerk, and all the others in the 241 unit, we played a major role to make sure people were able to get to and from their destinations. During this time, every elected official labeled us as essential service, and we are not in a disagreement with that. I have been talking with the state and the local legislatures, the aldermen, the alderwomen, and members of the county board. The job we do is a service, but without the worker, it does not move. On all levels, I'm trying to get us acknowledged as essential workers. He's like writing this in all caps. I would like us to be placed on the list to be just called that. This will not be an easy fight, although everyone I talked with and expressed the value, we are in agreement. This is one of the fights we are putting together on all levels. We also will be following up on our safety agenda from last year and pushing. Push. They love to say push, don't they? Push, push, push. Pushing to get our bill over the hurdle this year. We do not come to work to get assaulted, especially by the union president. This guy, he wants us to be called essential. And you know what kills me, everybody, is it when the minute we call ourselves that and we change the law, according to the Illinois section 17 of the Illinois Public Labor Relations Act, that immediately makes us ineligible to strike. We lose our right to strike. This guy is a freaking idiot.
He is an idiot. First of all,
it's just so. I'll stop. I'll be quiet and I'll let you talk. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nicole.
I'm sorry, but you know, you got to get my blood pressure up talking about this reporter. But he has the nerve to say what we should be. If he don't value us, how is anybody else going to value us? It's trickery, foolery. Just like when he signed agreement with the CTA and he signs the first page and not the agreement. He don't respect us. Well, who else going to respect us? Everybody thinks we're a joke because our union president is a joke. It's ridiculous. So.
It's embarrassing. And here he's talking about virtual, remote. And, you know, he and Ken Franklin in 308, and, of course, Dixon later, they did remote meetings, but just for the executive board, not the membership. You know, we protested about it, and they called cops on us. It's ridiculous. It's like, what planet is this man on? Man. So, let's see. We got Kathy in here. We got Eric. So Kathy, what do you think about this statement coming from the local 241 president?
Well, you know, they like to, like you said, they like to use the word push, and they do like to talk about laws and the legislature, and they talk. But they're not very much on action, and kind of almost like it's a never-ending cycle of bullshit. That's what it is. So they don't do anything. They don't organize the members to come to the meetings. You and others have asked for virtual meetings. For 10 years, people have been asking for those meetings. They won't do that. You know, they're just it's just a pack of lies.
It's sad. It's sad. It really is.
Me back forth last meeting.
Huh? Hey, Nicole, are you on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Is it possible for you to go like direct instead of speaker because you're kind of hard to hear?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I'm trying to get you guys to hear.
Oh, yeah,
Nicole.
Nicole, yeah. you sound better. You're more clear. You're more clear. Okay, go ahead.
I know I sound like a muffle. I said he'll kick me out the back door at the last meeting. Now, I left because I had to pay my parking meter, so I did go out the back door. Usually I refuse, but I had to pay my parking meter because the meeting never went on for this long. So he told me, could you go out the back door? I went out the back door. I almost got hit by a car because it was cars parked, blocking the door. And then when I'm trying to get to the street, here come a car speeding. I said, I'm going to have to write him a letter. Let him know I'm not going out of my back door. It's ridiculous.
Nicole,
it's so disrespectful.
Nicole, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the high seniority instructors led the charge. And she was confronted at the very end of the meeting. It's a 3.5-hour meeting. And I want to praise Nicole for staying that long and keeping her cool along with many other of us. But when we finally left, the high seniority instructor was confronted by the second vice president-elect. And the second vice president-elect said, no, you can't go back the way you came through the union office to the front door. You have to go through the back alley. And so she says, no, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to try to humiliate us. I'm a member, right? I'm not, and, you know, it's dangerous going back there. So I offered to walk with her to her car. She says, no, I'm not doing that, right? So then a high seniority, I hope he gets on the call in a minute, but a high seniority former executive board member comes up, and he's got a few years himself. He says, no way. I am not going out the alleyway. I'm a member of this union. So he led the charge, and he started walking through, so we followed him. And the first vice president-elect and the president-elect are following us closely and making threats to us, saying that we can't come back to the next union meeting. He's going to make sure we are not able to go to the next union meeting. And that's when we exited the building. We were very respectful. We didn't disrupt any workflow of the staff. And then we did a short video, you know, outside on the sidewalk. So I just want to let you know on that part of the meeting.
So this was this week. You're talking about this week, this meeting, this month.
Yeah, February 7th.
Can I say something?
Of course.
Can I say something, guys?
And tell us
well,
whatever you want about the meeting for members who weren't there, you know, this disrespectful conduct of the union president.
Well, you know, the union president wasn't in the meeting for some strange reason. I don't know. This is what I want to, and I'll get back to that. This is what I want to say. I'm glad y'all did that video because the president kicked me out the back door. I seen all those men coming out the front door. You know, he let those other men come out the front door. We got him on video. He didn't kick me out the back door as a woman, and he let the men come out the front. How ridiculous is that? How disrespectful is that? The president has went to an all-time low. You kick a woman out in the alley by herself, offer no assistance to walk her out or whatever, and you let men come out the front door, it shows the state of our union and the respect towards women. Now, moving forward, I don't know if it was a strange meeting, but I want to bring this part because I can't talk too much because I'm going to lose my voice totally. But I'm going to talk about this one point. Y'all tell me that Robert rules the order because they swear they know Robert rules the order, and Costa has been teaching them Robert rules the order. So it was a hand count. They were cheating. But we were like, no, it's not 21 people here because they knew they needed two-thirds of the vote for the challenges not to pass. And we had 11 people and they had 19. So at that point, it wasn't two-thirds. They needed 21 for the challenges to pass. So someone called for division of room. Why did Woodrow say, okay, put a motion on the floor? I said, Woodrow, would you stop cheating? You can't put a motion on the floor to get an accurate count because that's the same thing you're doing. How dumb is that? I was done. I just looked at them and laughed and told them to do what they want to. They don't have common sense. They don't know Robert rules of order. They need to get the book and slap it in their head. It's so ridiculous. This is the first vice president. He called for a motion because of division to the room. How could you call for a motion if you can't get a count right? How ridiculous. It's a shame. But listen,
thank you.
The election judges, they say that they were going by the bylaws. I asked them, I said, what does the bylaws say about voting? How do you vote? They said, she said, you know the bylaws better than me. I said, but you're the election judge. You're rendering decisions. I said, if the bylaws say black or blue pen, how are y'all saying this challenge is not valid? And the bylaws, don't let them talk the bylaws in the Constitution. They said past practice. And then an executive board member said, past practice trumps the bylaws. And so I said, not when being challenged. When being challenged, the bylaws in the Constitution takes precedence. They don't even know this. How ridiculous is this? We're sitting in a meeting, and they're doing challenges, stating they're going by the bylaws and the Constitution, and they're telling them stuff. Then they have the nerve to say, well, the financial recording secretary could endorse whoever she wants because of the time she's retired. And I said, she was retired from the CTA. She was the financial recording secretary treasurer of the union. How could she endorse her? She's over the election. And then I said, for the record, and Mr. Gatewood went ballistic. And he said, I'm not writing it down. You write your question down. I said, this is the first meeting. Mr. Gatewood don't know. I said, it's your job. I'm not doing your job for you. It's your job, sir. It's ridiculous. They don't know anything.
Our local function is like a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole. So let's get this right for the people listening. The financial recording secretary of Local 241, a full-time job, it's over $100,000 a year salary. The brother told you, he's newly elected. Hey, those of you who are not speaking, could you please mute your phone, please? So he told you to write down information. that was being discussed.
Yes.
He told you to basically do his job.
Correct. I said, that's your job. I said, for the record, that is, I want it in the minutes. I said, I'll have to send him an email and remind him how important the minutes are. Maybe he didn't read this part of the Constitution. The minutes are so important because if they have an audit or somebody want to come in and check the talent for the election, they need to know what the members, what was said. That's why he didn't want to write it down. He was that smart. But if he thought I was going to fall for that, I said, sir, that's your job. He going to say, well, you write it down and get somebody. I said, sir, I will not do your job. That is your job. But he wants me to write all my photo records down and give it to him later.
Oh, my God. Eric,
our local was like a preschool.
Can you see James Ruff on the call? Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So we got James Rufus who just called in. James Rufus is also a local 241 member. I thank you, brother, for calling the show. Why don't you talk a little bit about your experience at the membership meeting or anything else on your mind, you know, related to this issue?
First and foremost, this meeting is terrible. It's like a dictatorship.
Oh, no. Your connection, brother.
Brother,
your connection is really bad. Your connection is really bad, brother.
Are you on video?
Up.
Can you shut off video? James, this is
video. Eric, this is all audio.
Can you hear me now?
This is all audio. Yeah, it sounds like your signal's breaking up. Your audio's dropping out. It's very erratic.
Okay, what about now?
Is it maybe you're moving? Because we can't understand you.
Oh, it's moving. Can you hear me now?
Oh, brother, it's kind of rough, man.
Try hanging up and calling back. Try getting another connection,
okay.
James.
Okay.
That sounded good right there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, Eric, so you were there at the meeting. Could you give us a minute or so based, you know, following up with Nicole just described? Oh, we got James coming back here.
Eric, go ahead and
take a minute and follow
okay.
up.
So I just want to talk about the positive things because I could talk for hours about the negative things. You let me know.
Just give us a minute. We're trying. Yeah, I want to get to James.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, you sound great, James.
All right. Okay.
So James, Eric is just going to say something real quick for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, so go ahead, Eric.
Okay. Yeah, so again, thanks for organizing this discussion to the Justice Coalition and to Eric and others. So we were there, and it was very clear that the incumbents mobilized through the use of the Treasury of the Union improperly, in my view, perhaps 20 board members and stewards and their close supporters to sit in the meeting. They were taken off their work schedule from CTA or PACE and paid by the union to be there to vote along with the incumbents. However, and they were also giving parking spaces apparently too, because parking is a big problem. However, we had pretty good forces. We had maybe about 15 people were kind of neutral, I would say, and other people can weigh in on that number, I'm guessing, on it. But and then even after, and I hope James discusses this, even after the executive board member elect from my garage, North Park, tried to assault the second vice president candidate, James Rufus, and a lot of people left, we still had a whole bunch of dedicated people to continue to vote and to speak up, even though they it looked like they deliberately tried this maneuver to stop the democratic functioning of the union. And even with all the power that they have and the difficulty of the meeting, we still got over 10 votes. And they could really only muster about 17, 18, 19, 20 or so votes. Nicole was speaking about. So this is a very positive
Thank
development.
You.
It shows that we can do much more in the near future.
Thank you. And at every little bit counts when the members show up. Even at Local 308, when we were trying to adjust the bylaws, revise the bylaws so the part-timers would pay a discount on dues, you know, we had 10 people show up. Of course, the leadership, they stacked the room with, you know, we had 10 people to vote yes on it. They stacked the room, and it was like 30. But anyways, go ahead, James Rufus. Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Oh, my God, you're breaking up again.
Yeah,
you're breaking up again, brother. You were doing
I'm
so good.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's good. That's good right there.
Okay. Like I said before, Local 241 is like Russia now. We're in a dictatorship. Like Nicole and Eric said, the union is stacking the deck by making all the union stewards and board members come to the meeting. And when they do that, they all vote in unison. Some of them didn't even know what they was voting for. They just knew to put their hands up. Some of them didn't even put their hands up. I counted each time they voted. It was only 18 to 11. Even when I brought it to the attention of the chair, which was first President Woodrow Wilson, he said, no, it's 21. I said, no, I'm counting 18. But they carried the 21 vote without even going around and checking again. So after I did that, Tamika Richmond, she also counted. It was 18 people, and they kept saying 21. Another thing that Nicole was speaking, and while Nicole was speaking, newly elected board member from North Park, Marvin Hadley, he called her stupid. He said they don't have an education. So I then turned around and said, well, I have two degrees. I have a degree from Arkansas Pine Bluff and a degree from Dawson Tech. He said, no, I ain't talking about no internet degree. I said, me neither. So when it was my turn to speak on the challenge that the commissioner was speaking upon, I asked her a question. I said, you measure the city, actually go over and measure how far they were apart from passing out their flyers. She said, no. So at that point, you made an improper decision. Marvin said, I don't get it. I don't understand. So I told her, I said, it's because you don't have an education. I then became getting swore at, threatened, you name it, it came my way. But other things that I saw in that meeting, it's a lot of wrongdoing that happened in the votes, the challenge votes, everything. You got to look at it. You have a friendship, a person who, Annette Perkins, who is friends with everyone who we were challenging. We have 40 challenges on the table. So you mean to tell me no one had merit on the 40 challenges? We got bylaws in Local 41.
Hey, Brother James, you breaking up bad, brother. You breaking up again.
Breaking up
like you did before. Brother James, you breaking up. Nah. Whatever you were doing was working great. And then it fell apart. Nah, you breaking up. Try again. Yeah, call. Maybe try calling back.
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay, I'm sorry, everybody, about that. So it seems like, you know, the union leadership, the misleadership,
they continue
to rely on procedures,
ridiculous procedures,
to stifle the democratic will of the membership.
Kathy or
Nicole, did you want to add anything to that or go on to something else
until James
comes back?
Eric, I'd like to add something. I got a little bit of voice.
Go ahead.
I'd like to add something. Go ahead. You know, I don't know what can become of our union. You know, I sat, and I know everybody's going to hate this, but I sat and I watched CTA board meetings, and, you know, they act in a professional way. And I'm not saying I'm just using them as an example of how a meeting should be ran. Our local acts like preschool. And it is really getting out of hand, and it's upsetting. And, you know, members, we can't get our voices heard. It's just like we're lost. We're lost as a union. It's really getting worse and worse. When we thought it was going to get better, it's getting worse. And, I mean, I don't know the solution. You know, because I don't mind going to the meetings. I'm showing up every month like I always, but something has to give. I mean, poor leadership wrecks a business. It really does. And I'm getting really disgusted. I'm going to stop saying I'm 241. I'm just saying I'm a member of my employer union, because to say 241 and to be a part of this, it's sad. That's all I got.
It is. And just so you know, though, what you're doing, what we're doing in the coalition and as individuals, it is making a difference, because the union misleadership, they are upset. You know, they're scared. The management, the CTA mismanagement, they're scared. I mean, the stuff you're doing, when you speak up, when you ran for office like you did, you know, everything, everything is making a difference. It's just slow, and it's little bit by little bit, but it's making a big, big difference. Just one example. I walked into a shop today I did the union steward thing to check up on some coworkers, and I went into office. You know, you got to sign in, you know, as a visitor. And I said, "Oh, good morning, everybody." And they look at me real upset and angry. Whole bunch of managers. Mm-hmm. And I say, I'm Brother Eric, local 308 union steward here, just checking up on the members. I can go wait in the break room. I'll just fill this out here." And they're like, "Yeah, okay." I mean, you know, but they were angry. But it felt great, you know. And then the GM came, and the GM came back. Yeah, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, "Oh, I'm done, I'm leaving," because I was done, you know. So we're all making a difference. So every little bit counts. Frustration is natural, but you keep doing what you do, sis. Keep doing it. Eric, did you have anything you wanted to add? Or say?
Yeah, sure. There was a lot of other positive things that came out of this. The fact that we were able to force the discussion about the challenges, that 10 of us filed official challenges according to the Election Commission. They ruled two people out of order, including Andre Thompson and a former board member and another three-term board member who wasn't able to be present, but I was able to speak on his behalf. They ruled them not even to be on the ballot. And I really think that's wrong. We are adults in 241 and 308. We can make our own decisions as to who we want to be to vote for. Allow anybody who wants to be on the ballot should be on the ballot. And then the next eight challenges. Now this took 3 hours. Of course, they put mine last. You know, in which most of the workers, the rank and file workers, had left at that point. Of course, in addition, because of the threat of violence to one of the vice president candidates, James, who was just on the call. And that kind of cleared the room, which was, in my view, deliberate. And much of what is going on that Nicole's talking about, this sort of childlike meeting, was very deliberate. The first vice president-elect, he was, as he was chairing the meeting, the president ran away from the meeting. He claimed he had a Zoom meeting to go on, and one of the high seniority instructors says, "What on earth are you doing? Why are you leaving the charter meeting of the mass membership meeting of an organization of 10,000 families? What on earth is more important than being here and chairing the meeting as you're supposed to be doing?" And so he left. The first vice president handled it. And the first vice president is actively intimidating the people behind us, the rank and file workers there for the first time. And he's a big guy. He's like 6'7", he said. And, you know, he's standing over people and doing side talk while he's supposed to be running the meeting and assisting you know, that the meeting is running in an effective way. And you know, several times people said, "Shut up," you know, to the chair. You know, maybe not, you know, those words, but look, stop the side chat and run this meeting effectively. And so it's all very much deliberate to try to discourage workers from coming. Now, when we actually mobilize to run the meeting from the ranks, which is our responsibility as a membership and our rights, then they might try all kinds of other maneuvers, like claim, "Well, we don't have a large enough of a room for this." Well, that's inexcusable. We're a union of 10,000 families. We should have at minimum 300 rank-and-file members in the meeting. And until we start doing that, we really are a union which has no real capacity to mobilize itself in a democratic fashion to take the necessary action to stop the violence against us, to get good working and living conditions, and stop the intimidation, attempted intimidation by management, et cetera, et cetera. All the things they've been doing to us as a body we need to take back our organization to be able to use it as a tool. So, again, I saw a lot of positive things watching that 3.5-hour meeting, and I hope other people are able to speak up about that. What time, Eric,
Thank
what time
you.
Is a good
Thank
place
you.
To make an announcement?
Let me ask
you, go ahead.
Thank you. So
hey, I could add something.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, real briefly. The ATU officials, their job is to squash any kind of organizing. Their job is the union the way it is, weak and working for the company. I think we all agree with that. And I think what was said about, you know, talking to the workers on the job, I think that's the arena where change is going to happen. It's not going to happen at those union meetings, I don't think. Not enough
Agreed.
Members go. Yeah, and the union leadership, they control it. It's their arena, and they don't care if they're acting like idiots. So
Yep.
I just think that the focus needs to be, what can we do at our garages? What can we do at our terminals? And, you know, bit by bit, we could make some changes. Okay, I'm done.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And that's what I was discovering, you know, whenever I visit coworkers, you know, it's the same thing. The problems that they have, they're dealing with it as individuals. Either they just take it and they suffer, or they go and they approach the management by themselves and they deal with repercussions that may or may not be good for them, when all it takes usually is two or more. And that's what makes a union. You know, you have people united, a few people. And then the union leadership keeps telling us and indoctrinating us into believing that, no, you have to have everyone on board. Everyone must be in one accord is their favorite term. Everyone must be in one accord, otherwise it will never work. No, that never happened in history. In fact, most of the activity, revolutionary type activity, happens organically in specific locations that are maybe isolated. But once people start, like you said, Kathy, talking with each other, listening to each other, helping each other, what happens is we start to bind together, and we start to be able to change things. So Eric Slater, you on the call. So the election didn't turn out for you for president. Are you still employed? What's your next step?
Talk to us.
Oh yeah, I'm still driving the buses. I've worked for 3 different companies since I was illegally fired in the aftermath of George Floyd murder. You know, just briefly, you know, I was fired in really collusion, which we've been able to prove with police video and documents, which we're going to trial hopefully in a few weeks. So I was a board member.
Keith Hill, President Hill helped get you fired.
And it looks like he's even testifying, or he may be agreeing to testify with the company against me on the unfair labor practice charges in the labor board. But that may be coming up in the next few weeks and months. The trial was delayed. So I'm, you know, we're surviving, my family's surviving best we can. I'm still driving the city buses, just not with the CTA at the moment. I'm still trying to help, just like you, Eric, and, you know, like a sort of shop steward when people call and helping out best you can. You know, there's a lot of other things going on. Of course, we have many hundreds of workers who've been unjustly fired, and I think there's a really a moment when we can, you know, I agree with what.
So no. But what I need to know, though, what people want to know is, what's going on? If you could just briefly, because then we got another caller that just came in that I want to get on.
Okay.
But what is going on with the presidency part? The presidency part.
Yeah. So this meeting was an effort to try to stop any kind of challenge internally, and they're trying to rubber stamp
the election process. The International improperly certified the election before the challenges were even read a month ago. And then this was this bureaucratic maneuver at this last meeting to try to cover that up. And no, however, there's still many other avenues. We may, as a group, I hope we do it as a group, challenge the election through the International Union, and we also have, you know, other rights through the government agencies potentially, if that's the way we want to go.
Okay.
And the elections may be overturned, and the workers of the union may have a chance to choose the direction of their union, and perhaps it could be a few months from now.
Thank you. Thank you. So we got a new caller.
Can you hear me?
Is this James? Man, you're breaking up too. Is this Andre?
This Andre Thompson from 103rd, brother.
Oh, beautiful. Glad to have you. Here's the problem. You're breaking up a little bit. Are you on? Can you go direct? Are you on some kind of Bluetooth or something? Or
no, I'm direct. I'm not on a Bluetooth.
Oh, man.
You try to call again?
Yeah, you're really bad. Your signal.
Let's try to get another direct call. Let me call right back.
Call right back. Okay. That was Andre Thompson trying to get in. So I wanted to ask you all about some things that President Hill talked about in his report. One is he talked about this mayoral forum, and we're not sure what they're talking about. He didn't name anybody. We're I think a lot of us believe that he's a Lori Lightfoot person. So what do you all think? Let's go to Nicole, if I think you're still on, if you have any voice left. Maybe a little bit of water helped you out.
I just a little voice. Can you hear me? How much?
Yeah. Just be direct. Don't use that speakerphone though.
Okay, I'm not on speaker. How am I sounding?
Oh, that's good. That's
sounding
better.
Okay.
That's better.
Okay.
Yeah. So
well,
this
I'll
mayoral forum. He's talking about the mayor and whatnot. What's going on with that?
Well, I don't know. President Hill has never came out and said who the local was backing, and he better not, because he's never run it to the members. We're supposed to vote on who we want to support. And me, personally, I do not want to support Lori Lightfoot. She has not been fair to the transit workers. She's been fair to Keith Hill. That's not fair to us. I wouldn't vote for her. So he better not be sitting behind her and saying that AT endorsing her for ATU 241, because as a membership, that was never brought to us about who we want to back. But he has not publicly announced that 241 was endorsing Lori, and he better not, because I will bust him out.
Well, we know that Local 308 Secretary Treasurer Deborah Cozy Lane actually is an employee of the mayor, our boss, and is her political coordinator. So obviously she's endorsing Lightfoot on behalf.
Do you think she's publicly endorsing her, or did she just endorse her? Because I don't think she's publicly endorsing her, saying that 308 is supporting her. I mean, I believe that the mayor thinks that, but that's just not so. The mayor does not know that the the local really doesn't support Keith Hill nor Cozy,
right,
whatever her name is. You know,
right,
they
right.
don't know. They just talk a good game, but us members don't even support them. So I hope that she looked at the election. You know, I was a candidate for finance recording secretary treasurer, and I got over 900 votes. So I mean, I got a good backing. You know, and I don't believe she's done a lot for us.
Is there someone in particular? Is there a candidate in particular that you're interested in, or if you wanted to mention?
Well, I don't really want to mention, because I don't want to get everybody debating over who they are. I like them all. They all say some positive things, but again, we know, except, you know, everybody except Lori says things about CTA. She never mentions us or what she could do for us. At least I never heard her mention it. But I listen to all the candidates, and I guess if I was voting, I would vote for Chuy Garcia. I just think, in my opinion, he's a better candidate. I like Brandon Johnson, too. Cassie kind of put me on him, and I started following and listening to things that he was doing. I like DeMar Gray. I like him. You know, I got a little bit for all of them, you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But if I had to choose, I would choose Chewy Garcia. It definitely would be Laura.
Right. Right. So it looks like we got Andre back. Hey, Andre?
Can you hear me? Yes, sir.
Oh, you sound great. You sound great. Talk to us about this mayoral forum that President Hill was talking about and anything else on your mind about the membership meeting.
Well, he really didn't get a chance to talk about anything because he canceled the meetings shortly after he read his report. So we really didn't get a chance to really get into any questions or anything like that after spending 3 hours trying to go over the election challenges with Woodrow Chairing and Tian as recording secretary in the meeting, which none of them should have been doing none of that because Toy was over the election at the time that the election took place. He purposely excused himself because he himself was in the January meeting telling the members and us that we're not going to deal with the challenges. We'll deal with them in February. He don't have a right to even make that statement. Toy wasn't there to make that statement. She was there chairing the meeting. And he made that statement. He's a candidate just like us, so who is he to make any statement about the election? And Nicole, can you hear me, Nicole?
Yes,
okay,
I can.
Okay, did you get your letter today? They gave me a letter. Now, this is supposed to be the response to the challenges that was read to us. Now, they wouldn't give the members anything in writing, but they were supposed to give each candidate the response from the election commissioners. The letter I got is just a letter from Tian, and it's not saying nothing. It's just saying you got a right to appeal your challenges, and this is not a response. So now
well,
I got
Tian
another charge.
Well, Tian can't give you a letter. He was not the financial recording secretary at the time.
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. He can't be giving me this letter. I'm supposed to have a response that they was reading, the response that they read after they read our challenges. They read responses. They supposed to give us that, and I have not received that. This letter is just a general letter saying that the challenges to be filed and conducted in the most recent election, the election commissions presented and recommended to the local board, which adopted the recommendations. And they don't even give us the recommendation that the board adopted or anything. The local executive board presented and reported to you on your challenges to the union at the membership meeting held on February 7th, at which time recommendations to discuss your challenges was presented. The membership at the local meeting sustained the action of the local executive board, and this is another problem I'm having. The executive board voted on the challenges in the meeting on the executive board. They turned around and come to the union meeting. So they have two days.
Hey, Andre. Andre, you breaking up. Andre, your signal's breaking up really bad. Yeah, call us
Eric,
back.
Can I say something?
Please.
Yeah, Eric, call us back, Andre. Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Andre's correct. I have to check for this letter myself. But we may want to write a letter together, Nicole and Andre and other members of 241 in response to the international. One thing, you were there as well, Nicole. It looked like Ms. Perkins, who was apparently speaking for the Election Commission, she was reading from a document. I think the membership should have a copy of that document, and I think it would be very valuable for us. As Andre is referring to, she did not read the challenges, right? She read her opinion or the Election Commission's opinion about what our challenges were, and she broke them up, or I should say the Election Commission broke them up into sometimes like 14 different things, and that's not what we did in our challenges. And so the members need to actually see the challenges themselves and then actually see the response in writing, digitally, physically. We weren't even given that. The people who were brave enough to go to the meeting. So that would really help forward with their challenges to the election for the workers, for the members of 241 to get a real election. And so I think that's something we could do, those two things. Get that document, distribute it to the membership, and together write a letter and co-sign it to the A2 International saying these are the problems and this is what we're asking for them to do, if anything.
Eric, can I say something?
Go ahead, Nicole.
What I would say is, I don't know if you guys know, when I originally filed my challenge, I also filed it with the United States Magnet Board. So they already have my challenge. I'm not going to go back and forth with them begging for them to give us anything. I also contacted Keyfield and let them know that we hadn't received anything in writing regarding our challenges. So, you know, I did my part. I'm going to move on to the next step as far as putting the challenge with the United the U.S. Department of Labor, because, you know, they're not going to give it to us. They think they're slick. They don't think we're going to file with the Labor Board, but I already filed. They should know we're going to file because they're not trustworthy. They're like preschool kids trying to teach penmanship. No one's going to keep arguing back and forth with them because they're just stresses us out. And I'm not going to, excuse me, I'm not going to do that. I filed my challenge to U.S. Department of Labor, and they will have to give them the answer because they're not going to give it to us.
Right, right.
So, this kind of goes back to what Kathy was saying about the ATU, the way it functions as a business union. And, I wanted to just go a little bit off topic, but it is related to the local 689 workers, members that are striking in Loudoun County. And it's a small group. It's a small bargaining unit. 689 has more than one bargaining unit, more than one property, more than one company with members that are represented. This is a small group. I had this thought, and the ATU is being very public. The ATU International is being very public about this strike. But I find it suspicious because the ATU is very anti-strike. And during the pandemic, it was clear from, you know, King Costa, John Costa, the overlord, the master, the god of the ATU, he made it very clear in writing that striking during the first wave of the pandemic was off the table. Strikes were not supported. Any kind of action was not supported, would not be, because he didn't want to hurt the economy. That was... And that's always what they say, right? So now they're being very, oh, here's our striking people. But I'm thinking that these poor people in Loudoun County are sacrificial lambs because Keolis, the operator that county has given the that is paying to operate their buses for their county. They're bringing in strike breakers. They got people crossing that picket line. They got scabs all over. These strikers are out of work, and there's people replacing them. And there's even stuff within 689, members within 689 that are like, this strike is ridiculous. And I just wanted to throw that out to each of you, and I'd like each of you to just comment on it briefly, and then I want to get back. Hopefully Andre, his connection is solid. So I'm going to get Andre, hopefully. Hey, Andre, talk to us.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good, good. So any quick thoughts on these strikers in Virginia? If not, just jump right back to where you left off.
No, I really don't have no comment. I mean, the ATU pick and choose who they support in strikes. They definitely don't support Chicago in a strike. They never have since I've been here 30 years. So they support the mayors and the politicians and the governor to keep in the business for the local 241 workers.
Oh, man.
And the workers.
So, you're breaking up again, brother.
Oh, wait.
Damn.
About now.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
You,
Damn.
there to get your people over there at the farm company.
Yeah, this is a shame. Well, it's not me.
I can hear
everybody
fine,
can hear
though.
It.
I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you can't hear me fine.
None of us can hear you good now. Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
Well,
I'm hoping you can call back one more time, and I'll put you right back on. I hope you can try us again.
All right.
Please.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
why is that?
So when Andre comes back,
if you guys are mad.
When Andre comes back, I'm going to put him on right away. So go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, you know, I kind of follow 689, and I saw something disturbing today in one of their chats. They said that Jackie Jeter was hired for a manager position. Did anybody else see that?
I think that was for the office manager at the union, maybe.
Oh, no? Yeah, okay, because that was disturbing to me.
Yeah,
and they
pulled
Andre, people out of retirement. Okay.
It's weird over there at 689. Just like us, they got weird stuff in that union office, just like ours. Andre.
Yes, sir.
Andre, you're clear. So now, about the union, the membership meeting. Go ahead and finish up with your thoughts before we lose you again.
Basically, Keith excused himself for 3 hours, and that was all on purpose because as soon as the 3 hours was over, he popped back up to read his report. Woodrow chaired the meeting. Woodrow shouldn't have been chairing that meeting because he was a candidate himself. Wrote a letter prior to the meeting about Keith refusing to give us our challenges in the timely manner that they were supposed to, along with Toy. So I guess somebody must have contacted him from the International or the Department of Labor because I CC everything I do to the U.S. Department of Labor. But I'm just really sending an email to the union or John Costa, but I make sure they see what I'm doing. So he excused himself, and then the challenges was read. They didn't give us a copy of the challenges, and that's a problem in itself. So that's another charge that I'm ready to put out. And then another thing happened. He tried to fight Rufus from 74th, the guy from North Park, Marvin, former warden. And this kind of behavior, the membership need to make them stop by calling the police on them, have them arrested for any threats or any assaults that take place in that union meeting. And any members that attend, if anything takes place in a criminal activity, we need to video it.
We lost you now, Andre. We lost you. You're breaking up again. Oh, man.
All right, brother.
Get rid of that cricket. Get rid of that cricket phone, Andre.
Now, Robert's got the same problem. Do you hear that, Robert? Robert, can you speak?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Damn. Hey, Nicole and Kathy, you hear and Eric, you hear the same problem, right? They're breaking up.
Yeah.
Okay. Crap. Let me see what I can do. Let me see. Maybe if I hang up and call back, it'll work.
Yeah, hang up and call back, brother. That seems to be the only fix.
Okay.
What a bummer.
Yeah, this really stinks. And you guys are real clear. I don't know. This is weird. And I'm clear, right? All right, let's see. Let's get Andre and So go ahead, Andre.
I'm back, everybody.
Wrap it up.
Okay, well.
Okay.
In the end of the meeting, Robert's Keith tried to make me leave out the front door. I feel the, you know, members coming in the front, signing in, and then have to be leaving out the back is despicable. I refused to leave out the back. I told him I was going to call the police on him if he don't allow me to leave out the front door. And he had to let me out that front door because guess what? He know that that's some BS. This is like total disrespect, and that's all he's doing. They took all these board members off, you know, to vote against us, and it's only like 11 members down there. So we just didn't have a leg to stand on, and it was okay. You know, but the members got to be start participating in this union meeting, or we're going to be doomed.
So I will be filing my charges tomorrow through email, because this letter from Tian is a joke. And that meeting that they had on February 7th was a joke.
Yeah, Andre. Yeah, procedural crap. Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead, Robert. Or Eric. Is that Eric? Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could just say one thing to Andre while he's on. If we could write one together, maybe have a few other people co-sign it. What that does, and we would send that to the international union. We would CC the local officials. And if you want to send it to the U.S. Department of Labor at this point, I'm cool with that, but because they're going to get it anyway. But I think it will be very valuable. Yeah, right, but they'll get it eventually. They just can't interfere legally for 3 months until the election. But, you know, tactically, I don't have a problem if you send it to them. But the thing that's most important is that we have a group of workers that are a clear alternative to the current administration, that the membership of 241 can say, look, we don't just have to be without a union. We can have a union and our democratic rights to run our union as well, right? We can choose the direction we want our union to go instead of it being captured. So if we are writing these documents together rather than separately, where we can show that there's a possibility of having an alternative in the local. I just want to propose that to you and others, and Nicole and others, that whatever we do, we try to work together and write it together and co-sign it.
Oh, damn. Okay, so Andre, you were saying, and I think I got it because you're starting to break up again, but I heard that you said that you'd be willing to sign whatever Eric comes up with. Eric, you know, you keep saying that we need a workers' organization, we need something of workers. We have that. Okay, we have that. Hopefully we're going to have more of it. Right now we have the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition. You know, so it may not, you got to understand that not everybody is going to function like you think they should function. So you got to kind of respect that. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah,
Robert,
so what's,
talk to
what,
us.
What did you want
us.
Me to
what's
talk
on
about?
Your mind? So, Robert, we went over the meeting, but I want you to talk about anything in the meeting that struck you that the members need to know about.
Well, you know, when I got there late because, you know, they played games on my schedule that day and gave me a swing that ended after the meeting started. So when I got there, I saw – instead of Keith Hill being at the podium, I saw him sitting on the sideline with his puppet. And shortly after I entered the room, he left and announced that Woodrow Elin, the first vice president, will be chairing the meeting today. And you know, Woodrow was really acting like he didn't want to chair the meeting. He was kind of blushing it off, giving it to Tian to run the meeting, so to speak. And, you know, it was just, you know, they had these election commissioners at the Jack Williams and Annetta Perkins, you know, they just dumb as a box of rocks. And, you know, Woodrow made a statement that the election commissioners is an independent body. They're not under the financial recording secretary. They're not under the president. They're not under anybody. They make their own independent recommendations and findings based on the Constitution and the bylaws. And, you know, I just felt this, that was a slap in the face to the members, because we all know that's BS. You know, he just lies, and you know, two fights almost broke out at the meeting, you know, with Rufus, and it was just a total disrespect. Even the new officers that just got elected from Kansas and other garages, they voted against the members' interests, and they voted down all the challenges. It was really surprising to me to see that that those new officers are already working against the members.
Yeah, they really went full blast, you know, and it's worse. It's worse, you know, and they're accusing you all of being against the union. So was there any discussion at this membership meeting about the contract that's going to be expiring? Anything like that?
No.
Not from the members.
No contract discussion.
They adjourned the meeting.
Even though 308 has a whole schedule for the whole year of contract proposal meetings, 241 hasn't said a word about it. You can go in.
Wow. What a shame. So he does say something in his report. President Hill has something in here in his report. He talks about Pace West and Pace Southwest. And for Pace West, he says he's starting up his labor management meetings, items members want to bring to the union. And for Southwest, he said he's sending a letter to start contract talks with Pace. And he's saying, look out for contract proposal forms and fill them out. For Pace North, he's saying the tentative agreement, they voted on their tentative agreement already. Has anyone seen what Pace North Shore's tentative agreement is?
No.
Wow. No, we haven't.
Wow. Amazing. All right. And he's got a safety committee he announced with two representatives. He's got himself, Angelique, and Antoine Tremuel. And Angelique and Antoine will be addressing the membership concerns and bringing ideas to the table about safety. And they will be voting on items brought forth concerning safety. Have any of you heard from Angelique or Antoine?
No, we haven't.
No. Someone told me, I don't know to be sure, that Angelique was either in a sick book on vacation. And, you know, the other union store, he got took out of service because he tried to jump the manager. So, yeah. I mean, they drew up that to him. So, I mean, I don't know. I ain't seen nobody. I ain't seen or heard anything. But that's
cool. So, go ahead.
Can I ask? I just want to ask, is this Angelique the same woman who was making videos a year ago or so?
That's her.
Wow.
Yes, it is.
Oh, she changed her whole tune, Kathy. She not like she used to be. She pro here.
Yes. She sure must be.
Yes.
She must know it.
Yes. She's pro Keyfield Puppet Gang now.
Right. And I want to know how did he choose these members for these committees. He just handpick who he wants. He didn't offer it to anybody else.
Yeah,
he's over all committees. So yeah, he handpicked who he wants. And,
he's like
and once you get picked, you're gonna be your whole thing is picking you is about loyalty. So you want to stay in the good graces of Keith Hill, then you need to go along with the program that he presents to you. And that's what
be nice to him.
All of them.
Be nice to him. Worship him. Be nice to him. Don't criticize
and make
him.
Sure
question
you hate,
him.
Take the members or go off on any members that opposes or see things differently or have an opinion that's different than Keith Hill's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some topics that he said that they have ideas that they're going to be asking for. Asking. We're pushing and asking. More lighting in our parking lots, less access from the public on our parking lots, working cameras in the parking lots, police presence on our routes and certain relief points, transit detail, riding longer than two blocks and riding where we need them. Also, we will be approving a new system to help with the silent alarm system, dealing with the lights on the bus, notify police in our area or they come onto our bus. Brothers and sisters, your ideas and voice are welcome. And he puts his email, Angelique, and Antoine's email. And he says that the CTA has started to get more buses in with fully enclosed shields, with over 100 buses now and counting. Any comments, any thoughts?
Can I say something, Bruce?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. He spoke about the new shields. I just had a bus today that had one of the new shields, and this is not the new shield that's on the Nova buses. This is a completely different shield. And it seems like they should put out some type of notice or memo or something to let us know how to use these new shields and not assume that we know how to operate the new shields. You know, I had to mess with it for 5 to 10 minutes trying to figure out how to open it.
Wow. Sounds like a hazard. And anyone else had experience with these new shields? And then he talks about line instructor. He's giving the definition of a line instructor and said that the CTA stopped the line instruction classes in 2017 until the union had them restart. He said the union had them restarted. So fast forward today, we have many classes from supervision, bus clerks, and instructors in it. And we know that the CTA do not have enough line instructors because of the lack of postings for the job. We know many operators are not certified line instructors and will take students and train them. Some of us, the company, but they deny because of a work record. Brothers and sisters, take a second and apply. What do y'all think of that?
Well, I wouldn't do line instruction. What benefit do you have to be a line instructor besides an extra $10 to $15 on your pay? They got to make it more attractive.
Well, I think what's happening with the line instructor is he's trying to get his people who are not line instructors to be able to be promoted into supervision and instruction. So anybody who took a student out, they want to be able to be promoted into supervision. So this way he can get some of his people, they're not line instructors, through CC officially. So he want to get them to be official because they took a student out when they were short. And, you know, I believe Clarence Covington is not official line instructor. He want to be a supervisor. So, you know, yeah, that's Keith's people. So, you know, you're going to Keith want his people in there, just like, you know, he got the people in there now. That's in supervision and line instruction. So the more the merrier. And in management, you know.
Oh, my God. Is there anything that President Hill does that isn't self-serving?
Nope. Everything.
Come on.
There's
got to be one thing.
He's all about himself.
Yep. And obeying. Obeying. You better obey.
Loyalty.
And you better not participate and have your own mind at the union meeting. We need all puppets to attend. Now, mind you, all the board members in the union wasn't there. So, you know, at least 20 of them was there. So you got maybe another 15 that was out. So no telling were they out because they could think for themselves or Keith didn't take them off. I really don't know. But I believe some boards and stewards, matter of fact, there was one steward there. They didn't vote with them. I won't say her name right now. I'll let her, you know, speak for herself when the time comes. But she supports free thinking. She don't support the way she is a president, and she doesn't support the way she is.
Okay, Andre, yes, your signal broke up right as you finished, but you were talking about there was a steward that did not go along with the Keith Hill regime, and that's a good sign. That's a good sign, and I hope, you know, all of you on the call, all of you who are listening, are encouraged by that, because all it takes is a few, everybody. It just takes a one or a two or a three to really, you know, set things in the right direction, you know, for the long term. Yeah, you're breaking up again, but if you call back, we'll be able to hear you. You're breaking up, brother. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the president's report. So the maintenance department, he says, we don't have anyone from maintenance on the call, unfortunately. But he says they're going to be he and Marquell Williams will be resuming meetings dealing with some unfinished work for this department. I don't know if that's good, but okay. And the CTA has indicated that talks will continue and the union will not stop until we deliver on this. So we don't know what his work it is and what they're going to deliver, but he vows to not stop. Anybody know what the hell he's talking about?
No, I don't. He talks in code so many times. I don't know what this is speaking about.
So,
but somebody did comment on Marquell's report on Facebook regarding I guess added duties to the job or whatever.
Okay. Let's see. I can maybe look at Marquell's report here a little bit. Labor management. So they're saying they're missing a push tug in order to push a disabled bus from the bays to be hoisted to be repaired, and the CTA has ordered new ones. Training in the garages. Training upstairs. Kedzie Garage is being upgraded and transformed for in-house garage training. So instructors will be there, I'm sure. 77th has water pressure issues, scrubber repair, tire and radio, 701 positions. They have two mechanics that are going to move into the tire and radio position. And they have mechanics that are going to 701, local 701. That's it's not APU. I forgot which union that is. So they got 47 new mechanics in the pool for hiring, which is amazing that they fired so many people and so many people retired. So maybe this is it. Maybe, he's starting a bus servicer committee. And he's posted some other things in the report. So, yeah, maybe there's something going on. But Keith Hill definitely was a little ambiguous there. Maybe we don't know if that's on purpose. So here's something that's a big deal. It seems to be coming up at 241, and maybe it's been going on all the time. Labor management, he says local 241 held labor management meetings for all garages. The meetings were held to address the moral and issues. The moral, maybe he means the morale and issues that affect the members. These meetings will be held every quarter, so please let your union rep know what your concerns have. So does anyone know anything about these meetings?
I could say something about it.
No, I haven't seen him at my garage.
Yeah, because labor, usually what they mean is they're having secret meetings, and so they're going to have talked to management without you guys being present. Usually that's what that means. But go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so they had labor. So I've been the executive board for three terms at North Park Garage, and they had labor management meetings many times. I think I was invited to one once, maybe once or twice. And they're either at CTA headquarters or they're in a manager's office, is my experience. And, yes, they're just exactly what you described. They're just some union officials and some management having discussions about the workers, and you rarely get any knowledge about what's happening. And, of course, I've been prohibited, even though I'm the elected executive board member, the highest authority in North Park Garage, from those meetings for good reason.
How come you never told the membership about this, Eric, when you were – And did you tell the members that you were being locked out
of
these meetings?
We at one point we had almost 600 members, and North Park Garage went down with the pandemic a bit. But of course, I'm always in writing, giving these reports and discussing it with my coworkers. Definitely.
That's good. And see, it's really sad because when you have people that want to work, want to serve the people, it seems like President Hill, President Dixon, or whoever the president's going to be is just angry with them all the time, you know? And I got a question. When you went to this one meeting, was the food good? Did you guys have a dance? Did you dance? And was the music good?
The meetings I went were business meetings, so there was no food or anything like that.
Okay.
But,
I know they love to party, right? Don't the union people and the management like to party?
I wouldn't know. They do not invite me.
Right,
they're afraid
of
me. They think
right.
I'm always recording them.
They
think I'm going to have a press conference about it the next day. And they're partially right about that.
Yes, that's good. You gave them hell. Yeah. Anybody else had something to say about that? So let's look at this this grievance issue going on with 241. So in January, they did not hold any expedited arbitration, but he claims that 241 will be addressing over 300 grievances in the month of February. This administration will keep addressing the grievances and keep use the amount of time members must wait on receiving a final decision. Pre-arbitration meetings were not held in January. The local will begin pre-arbitration meetings in February. Labor charges in the month of January. We had no new cases. The local also had 3 cases dismissed. Most likely those were filed by Justice Coalition people. We also have had 5 letters of complaints, charges written to the international against the local. Yes, I'm sure we're in there. 5 were responded to and all complaint charges were dismissed and closed as unfounded. Absolutely, all the time. He says he handled step 2 grievances this month, addressing 46 cases, winning 17, withdrawing 1, and moving the other to the next step of the process. Anyone got any comments about, any insight about this, these 300 grievances and these delays and these complaints?
Yeah, I have a comment. If you got 300 grievances, still haven't brought one of them to the members to vote on. We haven't voted on one grievance all year. So, you know, what's with that, you know?
These would be grievances that the board rejected, right? These would be grievances that the board rejected.
You have to ask Eric on that one.
Per the bylaws, we're supposed to bring all the grievances, whether they're rejected or not, to the board. They weren't even bringing it to the board. I've been illegally removed from the board for the last 4 or 5 meetings. But even before that, they weren't bringing the board. They were having a side committee run by who's now the recording financial secretary-elect, and they would just have a private meeting about which grievances they wanted to go forward or not. And like Robert's saying, what's supposed to happen is it's supposed to go from the executive board to the membership. The membership's supposed to get a brief description of what the merits of the grievance is, and then we have a secret ballot on the merits, on whether we should pay to have this grievance move forward to full arbitration or not. And they've completely obliterated this constitutional and bylaw right of the membership because they want to pick and choose who they want to have the grievances move forward, and they're political enemies that we just sit and never get our light of day. So we have to, like you say, have to file charges externally, go to unfair labor practice, and then they send this to the international, and like you say, they rubber stamp and throw them out.
Yeah.
And by the way,
this is something. This is something else that you gave us. You know, the insight that you're giving us is very important. And also the members need to know at the coalition, we have made a template. If you go to chicagotransitworker.com, and scroll down, you'll see a button with a big S, and that takes you to our Scribd archive. And we have a template you can use, and you can contact us through the form. We'll give you the link where you can follow it to file charges against the union officials within the ATU structure. And this thing that Keith Hill is doing by not letting the local 241 members vote on grievances is against the constitution of the ATU and the local 241. He is violating the members' rights. he must be held accountable. But guess what? The only one that can do it is the membership. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, well, I think we should step back and say the whole grievance procedure is a problem. Because, like, you're reading President Hill's report, just so everyone doesn't know, and that's kind of his PR version of what's going on. There's a lot that's left out about what's happening. So it's kind of just, you know, mollifying, I hope that's the right word, coworkers to say, look, we're doing something for you. You know, you need to worry about it. Just stay at home, and we'll handle it for you. Well, that's not how a union is supposed to function. A union is supposed to function with an active membership and, you know, knowing what's going on and leading the leadership. I know, Eric, you've talked about this quite a bit online and elsewhere, and I agree with you on largely on that, the function, but they're doing the opposite. And the other thing they're doing is they're funneling in the strength of the union into management's clutches, which is, that's what the grievances is. It's a private discussion. Like you talked about second step and pre-arbitration and arbitration. All that's with maybe a lawyer, maybe an arbitrator, managers, and top-level union officials in a closed door in CTA headquarters, by the way. It's not even in like a neutral location or never mind a union office or a workplace. It's never in front of the workers or very, very rarely. And so it's completely in the clutches of management. The whole grievance and arbitration system is a trap for our membership, and we need to pull out of it. So it's much worse than just that. So I hope that we can start to, you know, come together, both 308 and 241. I really appreciate the work that you guys do on doing this and to try to fight for a social justice form of unionism, a rank-and-file-led form of unionism, where we have many other tools. And if I could just say one thing, there's a meeting coming up on the 22nd that Labor Notes is putting forward. If anyone wants interest in that, it's like $10. It's just on that question. And I'm in discussion with some people at the University of Illinois, and they're willing to hold classes for us, and they're even willing to do it in Chicago, you know, where we want it, if we can, you know, get 10, 15 people to sign up on it, and we can get a discount for it. So if people are interested in that type of learning how unions can function without using the grievance procedures or using it in kind of the class action, building the strength of the local, there are ways of learning about this, and we could do it as a group and, you know, break bread together and be positive things. So I'm interested. If anyone's interested, reach out to me or other organizers.
So why don't you just tell everyone your email or phone, however you want to be contacted?
Yeah, sure. Erek, that's how I spell my first name, Erek111@yahoo.com. And my phone number, if I don't, you know, leave me a voicemail or text message if I don't get back to you immediately, it's 773-892-6240. Again, I'm Eric Slater.
Great. Thank you. That sounds great. So one thing I do want to say, though, is that, you know, throwing out the grievance, you know, that using that kind of terminology at this stage, I disagree with. However, using grievances as an organizing tool, I absolutely agree with, and that is part and parcel of revolutionary unionism there, because that involves the rank and file as the control, as the power of the union. So anybody else had any comments about this grievance stuff? I mean, Local 241 actually has I think over 1,000 grievances, and they just sit on them. And Eric Slater's there, and we have Tommy Sams, former president. We got Andre Thompson. They all got grievances that are just sitting for years and years and years. Anybody else have any comments?
No.
So there's a – someone said something? Okay,
no,
so
– no comment.
Okay. There's a job fair. Ooh, a job fair. A job fair, and they expect 500 people in attendance. That was on January 28th, so that's passed. Let me ask each of you, do you think Keith Hill is going to be in some photo ops with or the union leadership are going to be taking pictures with the CTA top management?
So, absolutely. Oh. They love to do that, especially Keisha Hill.
Yeah. They love photos, don't they?
Just
why do they do
just
that?
Wait,
why are
just,
these union people taking pictures with the people who make policies and rules and punish us mercilessly? Why? Why did they do this? Any takers? Why do they take pictures with the boss? What is that? What's with this?
I think we should call Keisha Hill now and ask her.
Well, I'm working really hard. I'm working really hard. I'm trying to get you a lavish lifestyle. You should be happy. I'm
working
taking pictures.
Working really hard to find the next way to screw us.
Yeah, they love to take pictures. I think they do that because they want to show us that they're powerful or something, but they're not. We're the power. And they don't want us to believe in ourselves. That's what I think. What do you think? Anybody?
I can agree with that, Eric. They want to think they're the ish when they're really not.
It's just a bunch of sellouts with photo ops. We got someone who just called in.
That look like us.
I'm sorry, I got a new caller. Go ahead.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Carl Cook. How you doing?
Oh,
what's
Carl
up,
Cook.
Can you guys hear me?
Hi, everybody. Everybody, this is Carl Cook. He's a former board member, a CTA bus operator. Now he's in ATU 1000-something with Greyhound.
1700, Greyhound.
Talk to us, brother.
How y'all doing?
We're good.
I'm just glad to hear y'all working it out, man.
Good to hear from you.
Look here, I've been listening to you guys, and I'm real impressed with what y'all trying to do. But them guys, they don't play fair. They play dirty. They got all the dirty tricks, man. They've been schooled by all them old-timers, you understand? And they know that as long as they can stall y'all, sit on the grievances, and, you know, we got 30 days for this and 60 days for that and 60 days and the continuances and all that for grievances, it takes about minimum 4 or 5 years for them to be resolved. During our grievance process. When I was with the Teamsters and a truck lost his wheel, his steering column from under me and a truck rolled, the Teamsters had me back to work the next day after I came back after 6 months being off with a broken arm. You understand? I came back, they fired me. 24 hours later, they said, meet us at headquarters. They had the boss of that company down there on the other side of the table. He had a check on the table for me for that one day. It don't take 4 or 5 years. That's a sign of a very extremely weak union. If you can sit down and say this is what they did wrong and this is in writing right here, it shouldn't take no time at all. Just enough time to read the paperwork and type up the reinstatement papers. So what Keith Hill is, y'all might think I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek because he came in after me after they fired me the first time in 2001. They appointed him from Kesley to Chicago. Keith Hill got in office without being voted on. And he's been in office all them other times pretty much just by being a part of the crew, which is softball, football, basketball, and all the other sports teams. You understand? Them guys are active because they get time off. They get to travel. They get all that free union expenditures covered by the union duty.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And
that's
how
correct.
He consolidated his power. But not only that, y'all saw that grievance of mine. It was about the red light cameras. I went in and I fought CTA, and CTA gave me back my $90, took the red light off my thing because I saw and I argued that there's a statute that you cannot be held financially liable for things that happen at work while you're on duty. They said,
yeah.
I wanted everybody that had a red light to be reinstated, get their money back, and whatever to be made whole. You understand? But Keith Hill and Darrell Jefferson and Michael Simmons and all them characters at the time, they made an agreement with CTA. So we just going to pay Cook. We ain't going to allow him to get everybody else reimbursed, you know, and become, you know, a big shot in other folks' eyes. So Keith sold his soul to the company then. And then when I came back, when I got myself back, and we were going to run again after 2005, you know, they tried to knock me off the ballot, ran a whole bunch of people against me, and I still won. And look here, and this is the kicker. When he saw he couldn't win with me, CTA talked Jefferson or whoever of them to make him a lobbyist. And he's been living hog to hog, free money, ever since. You understand? And he's just been just sliding his way in and out. Have you noticed that all the people who was president before Hill, they don't work with him? Have you noticed that? That says a lot.
I have.
Most of the ex-presidents come back around and hang around. Keith Hill cut all their throats. Anyway, but that's a whole other story. Like I said, I'm old school. I've been, you know, I started in 95, and I've been through the wars, and I'm here. But at Greyhound, I can show you right now, I got a plaque today, guys, another plaque for excellence and outstanding work. So people can say anything about you, but if they can get you out the picture, you know, what they say is gold, even though it's a bunch of bullshit. You understand? So them guys ain't afraid. What y'all have to do is start meeting and showing up without letting them know in advance. Because you seem like you only get the same amount of people. So y'all need to get some folks who don't have any skin in the game. Who ain't worried about getting fired. Because damn near $40 an hour, you know, that's a big stick to beat somebody over the head with. You better act right or this money is gone and you're going to be broke come next payday. You understand?
Yep.
You need a coalition of folks outside of CTA to help y'all. You understand?
Yes.
If they can just fire people, they will. And they will hold all them job fairs and just get all, you know, just start a revolving door until they get the people they need or the people they want or the people they can blackmail. You know, cause,
and that's what's happening now.
That's what's happening
now. These job fairs that the union is having, which is they shouldn't be doing that. That's CTA's responsibility. They just getting their zombies lined up. That's all it is.
That's
Carl is right about what he said about people that used to be in that won't work with Keith because Keith is a cutthroat type of person, and he have cut all their throats. And that's the way, you know, me and Keith used to be friends. He used to play softball with me.
Of course.
But Keith don't want anyone to have a mind of their own. Just these new board members and these past board members that got reelected, they all better not ever get out of line. They all better not. You know, Marvin was talking to me, and Keith came and stopped him. This is a grown man. Talking to me, and he stopped, and he never did come back and talk to me because Keith was telling him.
Probably won't talk to you no more, right?
And he won't talk to me. I thought that was amazing. It was like a trained chihuahua or something. What the heck going on with this man? And I ain't never done nothing to him. You know what I'm saying? Keith got all these guys trained.
But it's just through blackmail.
To me too.
You know, it's just through blackmail. They got stuff on all of them from all them parties and all. You know, see what y'all do? See, they like to party, right?
Yep.
So y'all get somebody on them. You see that some bitch You see that person in the club drinking? And they all drinking. Put a call on them. Say, hey, so and so's license plate, such and such. And you know, cause ain't none of them gonna stop drinking. Ain't none of them gonna stop doing drugs. Cause they don't have to drop. You understand? Do you understand?
Carl.
I'm sorry.
Eric. I like
hey,
your
Eric,
idea about some people who aren't necessarily great to hear your voice. I like your idea about having some people assisting us. You know, one thing we have is a whole lot of people who've been unjustly fired.
Exactly.
And so they don't have anything on those people. They're trying to get
That's
their
right.
jobs back. So,
That's
so
right.
perhaps so. A direction we could go is help to get those workers' jobs back, who, by the way, a lot of those workers have a right to be in the union meetings, right? Because they have a grievance.
For sure, because they got active grievances.
Yeah, so
as long as you got active
grievances,
you got a right to be in every union meeting, try to get heard.
A lot of the people who were helping in my campaign for presidency were fired workers. They were going to the properties, putting up my flyers and so on. They were putting stuff online. And I think we really have a potential to organize that group, in addition to the active workers, which you know still are the most important. But in addition to the active workers, the unjustly fired workers. So I think that's a really good idea you're putting forward, Carl.
Sam, what you just said, Eric, is a wonderful idea. You tell all these people, look, show up at the meetings. We're gonna vote to have y'all grievance approved. You understand?
Yep.
That's how you get all
right.
the people to come, thousands of people. You say, we're going to help you get your job back. You know, they're top paid. They're probably missing. They're probably struggling like a big dog. Organize it like that.
Yep.
get some folks in there. And then, like I say, then you hear about their parties, had them same disgruntled individuals. They like to go out at night, too. Send them out to their parties. You understand? And then they will start getting afraid. You need to put a fear factor in them. And they ain't afraid of nothing. They laughing at us. They've been laughing at us.
Yep.
Like I said, keep been getting money for the last 10 years, free and clear. Ain't did a goddamn thing for the union. Nothing. If he had done anything, I would compliment him on it. But I've been watching because I've been very interested. He has done nothing since he's been appointed back in 2005. You understand? He can't itemize a thing that he's done personally to motivate the members to organize against the company. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me talk, fellas. You understand? I'm down here in Oklahoma, running that I-35.
Yeah.
But it's nice to talk to you guys, and I appreciate what y'all are doing. Huh?
What's going on in your local, Carl? What's going on in your local?
Oh, well, we got a new company. Flix done took over. They selling all our properties, putting us out on the streets. You know, we got to pick up folks in the cold. We don't have nowhere to break. You know, it's all kind of messed up. Once again, lack of participation, we spread out all over the country, so we can't get no unions meetings together anywhere with any consistency. You know, and they just rolling over us because we have no international support. But that's another story, right?
King Costa doesn't like your local, huh?
They don't like anybody who don't just go along with their flow. If you ask them any questions, you're a problem. You know, like y'all say, if they could, they'd call the police on you just to shut you up. And I ain't never heard no stuff like that. That's just real old craziness there. You know, that's a bit. That's like
they did that to me a few months ago.
And they executives for the company. You understand? They just got our money and controlling it. If we could use our money to fight them, you know, things will be different. But all they use our money for is to party and to keep us quiet. But like I say, I don't want to take over y'all conversation. I just call in and say hello. And, you know, folks are out here listening. And a lot of people be talking to me, you know. And what y'all doing is very important. Because Chicago you in New York is the biggest locals in ATU, you understand? And Keith Hill and them
outside
ain't number placeholders and puppets for CTA and all the embedded insiders who've been around way too long. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
What did all you right. do? What about your election? You guys are having an election, right?
Oh, we had one. It already ran. It went. It was a low turnout, man. It was like a popularity contest over here called. You know, friends voted for you, and that's all you needed. So they said, well, where you been? What you been doing? I said, I've been in the union since 95, okay? I ain't no new kid on the block. I got a resume up long as my arm, but I ain't got time for all that. Y'all just need to, you know, listen to what people are talking about and see what's going on and vote accordingly, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, they came out of nowhere. I had to pay like 700 and some on dues or arrearages. How the hell I get $700, $900 in arrears, you understand? And they've been taking my money out of my check every month religiously. So it was just BS install to keep me off the ballot. But I ended up, you know, I've been working too long not to have no money. I've been in the union too long not to have no money.
Right.
So I was y'all ain't doing nothing. But that's just another example, man. My whole career, they done threw up roadblocks. Wrongful termination. I always get back, but it's just enough to stall me out of getting into the union leadership to bust all that nepotism and thievery and expose all that crap. They don't want nobody who can't be bought, who ain't a pervert, you know, ain't no kind of perversion, you understand? You know, just a solid, moral, upstanding individual who like to help his brothers and sisters, you know? That sound like a campaign speech, which, you know, I'm just talking to my brother. I can throw a little digs in for myself.
At your local, you have absentee ballots, right? You have mail-in ballots, right?
We have mail-in ballots, yes. That's all we can do. We all can't get together and vote in the same place. We're all over the country. So basically what they did also here, they didn't send all the ballots. They just sent the ones to their friends in a timely fashion, and everybody else has arrived later. You understand? Kind of shit, man. The union, if you read union history, if you want to have real union history, just read the labor convictions at the labor board. Everything we all talking about, they do it all the time and folks get arrested for it. But they still do it because if you're not consistent, it'll just be thrown by the wayside. It'll be voted down and moved on and moved on and moved back and nobody, you know, following up. Justice Department is besieged with complaints because they all know how the system works. But you can't get discouraged, man. You got to get the people and get some of these folks to move on for their own interest. You got to put somebody in jail, man. Local 241 has not arrested anybody, and I don't know how because they've been stealing. What is this, Chase Bank writing phony checks and all this, and they still can't get nobody under the microscope? I don't understand why. You know, it's like Black Lives Matter movement. Any movement, you got to have some violence. You got to have some something to grab somebody's attention. I'm not saying violence per se. I'm saying persuasion, whatever. You know, I'm not advocating any criminality, but I'm advocating collective union activity. And if you read the union laws, you could damn near burn down a building, and it'd be called collective union activity. But that's just that's old school.
Now,
well,
I want to let
get
you
the
all
lady
know
from the pension office.
Say again.
They did get the lady from the pension office.
And I was happy to hear that. But she ain't the only one. It was more than her. She couldn't do that by herself.
No, she couldn't do it by herself. She'd been trained to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't only, even though she got charged, she wasn't the only one got fired, you know.
Okay.
Willie Means got fired right with her. And you know what's going on.
Who was that, Willie Means?
He got fired right with her. And I think he went to jail and bonded out.
There you go. Willie Means, the one who got Keith elected.
Yep.
Willie Means was dating Keith's mother when Keith got appointed to from Kansas to Chicago after they got me on a fucking conduct unbecoming. I got pulled over and I had my registered pistol. I got a concealed carry and everything. CTA had that shit the next day. I guess they heard it through the grapevine. You know what I'm saying? But how'd they get that shit? And I was back at work. And they just they just arrested me, took my gun, wrote me up, and I was out. How did CTA get it? You understand? But Willie Means was in the pension office. Willie Means was he was an officer dating Keith's mother when Keith got appointed. That's when he first came into the union. He ain't no shit from Shinola. You know, he was just a second baseman or something on the softball team. Anyway, you guys, I'm telling you, they got all our money, and they got billions of dollars worth of pension money backing them, and they sitting on them boards and ain't counting shit, ain't doing shit. They just come there hungover and shit, and you're glad-handing, you know, kissing each other, and ain't taking care of no business.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, CTA coming after,
they're
not going to continue to pay us these large salaries without trying to cut off all the folks who got some time.
We got a few minutes left in our show, and I want to kind of bring us down with a little, or bring us up with a little bit of levity here, and it could go anywhere from here. So I'm going through the balance sheet for Local 241 as of January 27th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line item, a reimbursement expense for lunch on January 19th, 2020. Three, in the name of Keith D. Hill. The amount for his reimbursed lunch is $168.95. We're going to go down the line one at a time. I'm going to call your name, and I want you to tell me what you think that what kind of food, what kind of delicious meal he had for $168 on the union member's dime. I'm going to start with Eric Slater. What was Keith Hill's lunch?
My best guess is he had some other people with him. I don't know for sure at all, but that's my best guess is he, you know, maybe had his choice board members or his politicians he wanted to wine and dine or something like that, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Kathy, $168 lunch. What do you think he was having for lunch?
Well, it could have been at an expensive restaurant. It could have been a big steak with all the trimmings and some drinks. That's
okay.
My guess.
Okay. Robert, $168 lunch. Talk to us. What was Keith Hill having for lunch?
Lobster tail and shrimp and yeah, that's all I can think about. Steak.
Okay.
Nice
okay,
big,
Andre.
Caviar steak.
Caviar steak. Okay, Andre, what was his $168 lunch?
A cheap CTA manager's ass. He was eating it. He was eating it. CTA manager's ass.
$150 and a $30 tip.
Right. <for free.
laughs> Hey, Carl.
He beat me to it, man. I was about to say a fellatio with $150 and a $30 tip.
Okay. Man, what a disaster. But you know what? The struggle is good because we're all here. We haven't given up. We're still fighting, whether we're in Oklahoma, the South Side, the North Side. We are holding our leadership accountable. We are the union. We are the union. We are holding them accountable.
We appreciate that insight, brother. That was some – you laid it down really – really good, brother. I appreciate the way you came with that conversation and that story.
Ain't no problem, guys. Look, I'm telling you, I was serious about paperwork. Every time I held forth at whatever garage I was at, I back it up with paperwork, documentation. That's something Keith Hill and them ain't never done.
Nope.
You understand? All they is talk, bullshit, smoke and mirrors.
That's right.
I can show you
That's
everything
right.
I say on documentation. Jackson,
imagine
Bernard
that.
Jackson, you know, all that. Red light cameras, you know. I got, reinstated twice at CTA, you know, by myself because the union was against me, of course. I just made all the meetings, made all the court dates, made all the hearings, you know.
Yeah.
Just got to hang in there, guys.
Yeah.
We can get them out.
It's a struggle. It's
They're
a struggle.
Get themselves
it's a struggle.
Out. Like I said, something. It's a crack in the armor right now because what it means, he can't just run because it ain't over. He got fired, but he still got to go to court sooner or later, right?
Well, that girl going to sing. That's why she got charged. She got charged, and she going to get less time or get the very little time on the fact that she sing. And that's
gonna
what she's going to end up doing.
We need a few real honorable people to meet regularly. And do what you're talking about, Carl. Just go to the meetings, follow through with it, have after meetings, before meetings, file the paperwork, and be serious and
Eric,
do it together.
Well, Eric,
break bread together.
Eric, it already, you say we need. You always keep saying that, but it's happening. It's been happening since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the leadership has been working very hard with the mismanagement and the police and the politicians to break us up. Yeah. So we're doing it. We've been doing it. But the thing is, you may not really see that because you think we need to be a certain way. And that's not how unions work. That's not how union democracy works, brother. You know, I'm just telling you, and you've been in it more than me. But really, you know, Eric Slater, you've been through a lot. But at the same time, sometimes you don't necessarily seeing what's actually there, you know. And we are doing stuff. Andre, myself, Nicole, Kathy, Robert, I mean others, James Rufus. We actually run ATU in Chicago. It's not official, but the leadership, whatever they do, they're doing it based on what we're doing, what we say, what we're talking about.
Everything,
they react.
Eric, I agree consistently. Everything you say and everything Andre say, everything Eric Slater say, everything Catherine say, is seen by a lot of people, but ain't nobody saying nothing. You understand?
Right. And
on
they're
Facebook,
scared, but they tell
us. They say seen by, viewed by.
Yep.
They watch
Yep.
you. but, you know, they're afraid to speak.
Yep. And that's what they tell me, brother. When it, wherever I go, they're like, oh, you Eric. See, they recognize me. Bus and rail people are recognizing me. I don't even know who they are, but I just say, well, that's my evil twin. I don't know. What you talking about? And then we laugh. and then we break it down. And then, yeah, you know, they're coming along.
Yeah.
They're coming along, you know. Even the manager, I had a manager the other day say, hey, Eric, I'd like to talk with you. I said, is this regarding discipline? He said, oh, no. And he said, you know what, I see what you do. You know, people send me this stuff, and, you know, you're real hard on the management. You're real hard on the management, and you know, you're making the management and the workers hostile. I was in the union. I was a this, and when I was in the union, and the union didn't do nothing for me, so I came into management to make a difference, and then here you are trying to make us out to be the enemy. I said, okay.
Well, that sounds like he had somebody playing violins behind him, man. That sounds like some bullshit.
Yeah.
You just try to break your resolve.
Yeah. I wanted to cry, okay? I wanted to cry. I was touched. but I said, hey, man, you see what I write? I write the word mismanagement. Do you believe in mismanagement? You think mismanagement is good? He said, oh, no, not me. You know, I know what he's saying. But you know what I'm saying. Caesar, not me. I said, then don't worry about it. I ain't at war with you then. As long as you respect us in the contract, we have no issues. Okay.
Unjustly firing folks, starving their kids where they can't pay their mortgage or their car notes, that's hostile. You can't get more hostile than that.
That's right. Yep. Death threats, you know, threaten to fire, threaten to kill. I mean, and they're like, oh, no, that never happens. Yes, it does. So
yes,
well, we got 1 minute left. I'm going to give each of you 20 seconds to say something, and that's it. And we got to go. Eric.
Keep it positive. They're very weak situations. Only like 25 people that are stopping the 10,000 members of taking back our Union 241.
Thank you. Kathy, I got to cut you to 10 seconds.
We'll take back the union when we organize at our workplaces.
Yes. Robert.
Members stand up. We move. Members stand up. We move Chicago. Well, we sure as hell should show CTA that we can stop Chicago as well.
Man, awesome. And Andre, 10 seconds.
It's 6,000 members in Local 241. It's very important that you attend your union meetings. 11 people can't do it when Keith got a steady 25 people attending those union meetings that is loyal to him. So the only thing we need is at least 50 people or more to start attending, and you'll see a big difference in Local 241.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Carl, 10 seconds.
Release the gremlins. Start checking windshield wipers, gas caps, you know, air, just release the gremlins. Give them something to worry about.
Carl, bad man. Yes, tell them. All right, so that's it. This is Brother Eric with the Justice Coalition, and I hope you enjoyed this special edition of our show. Keep listening. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss a show. We are the union.